Blog Talk Radio.
I don't care how many times I hear that intro, it always seems to motivate me. Good evening, podcast audience. This is Ken Hodge, and tonight I want to welcome you to the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast. Again, every Tuesday night, or almost every Tuesday night, a real good friend of mine, Robert Foss, and I, we research injury compensation information, and then we try to compile what we've researched and put it in a half-hour format for you and try to bring you informative half-hour segments that only pertain to Fed Comp, Federal Injury Compensation. Again, some might ask why we do it. I've got a desire, and I don't want to sound too corny, for lack of a better word, but I do. We have a desire that because we went through a thing, if we learned, and I say we, Robert and myself, if we learned something while going through that, then it is our intent that we want to provide you with our information, lessons learned, so that when you travel down that road, you can avoid some of the sand traps or the pitfalls, because you're getting information from individuals who have already gone through this. So again, there's nothing more satisfying than helping an individual who requires help, and you're there to provide it for them. Hey, good evening, Robert. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty well, Ken. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I was kind of biting my nails a little bit, but I said, you know what? He's on the way. He's coming on. Yeah. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about this concept of leave buyback. I went online. I pulled down some information. I'm going to talk to you a few minutes on what leave buyback is, and then I'm going to – hey, Robert, are we set to talk about the CA-7 tonight? Or let me – what form would you use?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Let me – I got a couple of question and answers with pertaining to leave buyback. So when we start off with the first question was, what is leave buyback? If your workers' compensation claim was approved and you used annual and or sick leave during the periods of disability due to your injury or illness, and you have submitted proper medical documentation which agrees with your leave dates, then you may be eligible to have your leave recredited to your account via a leave buyback. This will change the leave used to leave without pay, and the annual and or sick leave will be available for your use again. Now, when I talk about leave buyback in a nutshell, and jump right in there, Robert, anytime. When I look to buy it back, I really transfer that leave into a leave without pay status, and then my leave is credited back to me. But now, if I'm looking to buy it back, does the Department of Labor pay for some of that? Will they reimburse me somehow?
I haven't been able to get any definite information on that. My understanding is, and again, this is just my understanding, when you buy the leave back, all right, the you've already been paid via the leave that you took.
Right.
All right. So when you buy it back, you're going to have to pay money back, but not for the entire amount of leave. Okay.
Okay.
What it is it depends on whether you have dependents or not. Hopefully you do, but, you know, there are single people out there who don't. If you have dependents, just one dependent is all you need. When you buy the leave back, workers' comp will credit 3/4 of that leave amount. All right.
Uh-huh.
So the difference between that 3/4 and the full amount is what you have to pay back to the agency.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
So in other words,
you're not buying back the whole leave. You're buying back the difference between what workers' comp would have paid you and what you actually got paid for the leave.
And that's funny because you just answered my next question. I got a list of questions here. And the next question was, can I have Department of Labor pay their portion of the total amount due and only buy back that portion of the leave? Well, in a way, you just answered that for me. And no, the Department of Labor portion is always based on 2/3 or 3/4 of the total amount due. If the amount of leave is reduced, the amount of Department of Labor entitlements also is reduced. You will always be responsible for paying the difference. So I kind of get what you're saying. You're only buying back that portion. So Department of Labor will buy a portion, and then you have to buy the remainder part.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, another question. What do I have to do in order to initiate this process? Well, you must first initiate a leave buyback within 1 year of the date the leave is used, or within 1 year of the date your injury or illness is accepted by the Department of Labor, whichever is later. If you file a claim for traumatic injury and file form CA-1, you cannot buy back leave used during the period of eligibility for continuation of pay. So that would be those first 3 days. This does not apply if you filed a claim for an occupational illness and filed a CA-2A. Since you are not entitled to COP, in addition, you cannot buy back credit hours and or compensatory time that was used in lieu of sick or annual leave during your period of disability. Didn't mean to confuse anybody with that reading, but if you have a CA-1 filed on file, then that contestability period that they're talking about is before COP kicks in. You have to use it's 24 hours of your own leave. Is that correct, Rob? And then COP kicks in?
No, it's 3 days.
Okay.
You have to use three days of your own leave, or be off one on your normal days off. And a combination of those. Then
okay.
COP kicks in. All right. Now,
okay.
Please note, I'm not sure if I heard you correctly, Ken, but it says a claimant may not repurchase leave used during a period they're eligible for COP. So that 45 days that you draw your COP, if you use leave, you can't buy it back. That's what that's saying. At least that's the way I understand it.
And that's what it says, a traumatic injury, and file the form CA-1. You cannot buy back leave used during the period of eligibility for continuation of pay.
Correct.
Now,
if you used leave after that, then yes, you can buy that back.
Okay. And next question is, well, what happens next after I decide I want to initiate? Well, if you have determined that you wish to buy back the sick and or annual leave used while you were disabled due to a work-related injury or illness, obtain form CA-7. That CA-7 is claimed for compensation, and a CA-7A. Actually, there's a CA-7B. The CA-7 is heavy because this is CA-7, a 7A, and a CA-7B. But right now, we're going to start with the CA-7 and the CA-7A. Because that is the, after you decide that you're going to initiate a claim, here's where the CA-7 and the CA-7A comes into play. So you want to start on the CA-7, Robert? CA-7A?
CA-7?
Yeah,
let's do the CA-7.
Okay, let's start with the CA-7.
Okay. The CA-7 is an information form. essentially. They need to know your name, address. Email address is optional. If you have a case number already, they need to have that. Date of injury, your Social Security number, your telephone number. All right, all of that is at the top. Section 2, compensation is claimed for, and it's inclusive date. In other words, the pay period that you're out. Okay? From Saturday to Friday for the first week, and from Saturday to Friday the second week. You need to choose whether it's going to be leave without pay, leave buyback, other wages, or other wage loss, I mean, such as night differential, stuff like that. And then if you have a schedule award, you have to put that, list that down. A schedule award is where you've been given permanent disability, and instead of letting you receive disability every month, they give you a lump sum payment. And you need to determine whether it's intermittent or not. Typically, if you're off work for an injury, it's not intermittent. In my case, where I'm injured, but I'm back at work, it's considered intermittent because I'm off part of the time to go to the doctor or whatnot, but it's not all the time. Section 3 of that, you have to report any and all earnings from employment outside of your federal job. In other words, if you have a home-based business, you have to report your earnings. That will affect how much you get from unemployment. And you have to be truthful with this, because if you fib a little bit, say, nah, that don't count, I'm only making $200 a month from my business or from whatever, they won't notice it. Trust me, they will notice it. And then you're in a world of hurt because you falsified a government document, which is a felony. You could lose your job. You could lose your benefits. By benefits, I'm talking about your injury comp benefits. And you could go to jail. So be honest with all of these forms. Provide the name, address of the business. If you did not have other income outside of your federal job, click the no box and go down to Section 4. And that's basically, is this the first CA-7 you've claimed for compensation that you filed for this injury? You can have 6 or 7 different case numbers, 6 or 7 different CA-1s, as long as they're not for the same injury. So that's a key word there, for this injury. All right. If it is, then you click the yes box in Section 4, and then you also click the yes box down at the bottom of that and go down to Section 5, fill in your dependents, all right? And give, basically, if you say yes in Section 4, then you have to fill the entire rest of the page out. If you say no, then all you're going to have to do is go down to Section 7, which is where you sign and date it. Section 6 is kind of tricky because this is where, is there a third party involved? In other words, is there an insurance agency paying you because, for example, you got injured by someone else and their insurance is going to pay you? If that's the case, then yes. Typically, you won't see this inside the building. If you're working inside, it's typically carriers and truck drivers who see that. They got hit. They were in an auto accident. Excuse me. That sort of thing. Or you may have been standing out in the driveway of the parking lot and somebody ran in and hit you. Chances are their insurance agency is going to cover that. So you have to let the workers' comp know that there is a third party. Essentially, that's what the CA-1 is. I'm sorry, the CA-7. All right, the CA-7A, this is your time analysis form. This tells workers' comp what you did for pretty much every day of that 2-week period that you're going to be claiming for. And you have to fill this out for every 2 week period. So if you're off for 6 months, you're going to have 12 of these. Again, across the tops, your name, your Social Security number, case file number, number of hours claimed for LWOP. If you're off work, that's going to be LWOP. Even if you're taking, well, no, if you're taking leave instead, then you would put your leave hours down. All right. But you put in the date compensation claimed is yes or no. If you're off work, then you're going to be saying yes because you want some money. All right. The far right column is a description of why you're off work. Injury recovery, you know, or better yet, doctor's orders. Right? Or you have a doctor's visit, you have therapy, whatever the reason is that you're off work. Once you return to work, when you have doctor's appointments and whatnot, you fill out this form if you take time off during working hours. All right? And you submit this. Now, the form is a self-totaling form. In other words, in the LWOP column, if you put a series of numbers in there for your time, down at the bottom where it says totals, it'll automatically total it up for you. The worked column, however, is glitched. Sometimes it'll give an accurate number. Other times it will not. You'll have to pay attention to that. And if it's not accurate, you have to cross it out and put the correct number in. And then sign it and date it. Now, with all of these forms, when you send it in, you have to send it in on the weekend, meaning Friday through Monday, of the weekend between paydays. That gives them some time to work on it, and you get your money anywhere from that following Friday up to 2 weeks on the Friday. Depends on when the Department of Treasury can actually send out the payment. Another thing with this is you're going to need to remember you do have to have direct deposit, and the Department of Treasury has to have that information. They do not like to give out checks. They will give out checks on the first one or two times. After that, they'll hold your payments until you set up direct deposit with them. And if you wait too long, they won't pay you. Now, on this form also, where it says leave, if you took leave during that period, put down the number of hours for each day. That should also total up at the bottom. You also have to select type of leave used, sick, annual, or other. Now, we don't have other in the post office. We have sick or annual. So it's going to be one of those two. That pretty much covers both of those forms.
So as you can see, though, and what's important is another bit of information that lets you know that if you tune in or tap in to the resources that are available to you, if you get hurt at work, very little should actually come out of your pocket, if any. Now, I know far too often people are not exposed or privy to the information on the CA7 family. But I say to you again, if you are injured at work, CA1 or an accepted CA2 claim number or, you know, receipt of claim, then there are a host of benefits that you are entitled to. But unfortunately, we work in an environment where that's not important, that management communicates that to you. I'm going to use that as a bit of a segue because later today or later in the day, I was speaking with Antonio. I'm always speaking with good friends, Jeannie and Chris. I haven't got a chance to speak to Mr. Norris. And for those who don't know, these are all SMEs in the injury compensation field. These are people that Robert and myself are affiliated with. And most times before I air my show, when it comes to injury compensation, I'm going to reach out to Antonio Smith. I'm going to reach out to Gene and Chris. Jeannie and Chris, I'm going to reach out to Anthony Norris. These are the subject matter experts. So this is where I go to get information so that I'm reasonably certain the information that I'm going to pass along to you is quality information. In fact, we have a, I'm sorry, I was segueing into another point about the people that we have associated with us. And I lost my train of thought in the middle of that segue. But I stay in touch with subject matter experts because I am of the opinion, and Robert and I, we do a ton of research. But before I put information out that I'm not reasonably comfortable with, then we go to the subject matter experts. And this is the, I like to say, the beauty of contacting Robert Frost or Kenny Hodge if you're in the Columbus area. For Kenny Hodge, if you're anywhere, you can contact Robert Frost. But we make sure that we have the latest and the greatest information because we stay in touch with those movers and shakers who provide us with the latest and greatest so that when I address my podcast audience, I'm certain now, the information I give you is solid, and I can't, you couldn't ask any more of me than what we actually do for you right now. But the CA7, coming back home, the CA7, that family of CA7, the family of CA forms, allows you, because if you're injured and you don't have, I'm sorry, I came back to me. See, that's, I'm going to call that an over 60 move. I was segueing into, if you don't have good claims and case management, it is so easy to miss something because you were not aware. Now, I was talking to my SMEs, my subject matter experts, earlier today, and that was my question. And I wanted to try to get a response to you on what exactly claims management with respect to injury compensation, what does that mean? I mean, if I'm guided by Jeannie and Chris, and they don't have doctors in Ohio, so let's use Elite. I'm guided to Elite Medical. Now, Elite is a full case manager, full therapy, injury comp doctor, full service, one-stop shopping, for lack of a better phrase. When we talk about case management, are they making sure that when that CA7 is done, they're going to assist me with filling it out? Are they making sure that from the day we file our claim, is the agency, in my case, or the federal government, in Robert's case, are they maintaining timelines? So again, I'm going to get the subject matter experts on our podcast next week, and I want them to address exactly what does claim management do, what does it mean, and if I sign with Elite Medical for my rehabilitation service, again, do they maintain the timelines? Do they ensure my paperwork is filed when it's supposed to be filed? Are they making sure that if it's an on-the-job injury, that I'm not wasting my leave, you know? So when I draw it out like that, and Robert, if you have any information right now on that before we get Chris and Jeannie and the rest of the crew on the phone, I'd be interested in knowing, when I talk claims management to you, what do you envision?
Claims management to me is someone who helps you fill out your forms, make sure you have all the information you're supposed to have, makes certain that your doctor is filling out the forms correctly that he has to fill out and submit. And then they also ensure that, or I should say, remind the doctor to submit it in a timely fashion. And, excuse me, They also monitor what's happening with your case. In other words, you know, you have to, they cannot actually send this stuff in for you. You have to send it in yourself, officially. Now, if you give them a power of attorney, then they can do it for you. I should say a limited power of attorney. But anyway, once it's sent off to workers' comp, workers' comp has a certain amount of time before they're supposed to contact you with a determination. If that time drags, then the case manager, you know, calls workers' comp, says, "Hey, what's going on with this case?" You know, to keep it fresh in their mind, so that workers' comp knows someone is monitoring it and pays more attention to it. Then, if your claim is denied, a case manager helps you do your appeal. And you may have several appeals, but they're going to help you work through it to try to correct what workers' comp says is wrong. Sometimes it's as simple as the doctor using the wrong word. All right. For example, you tripped, but your doctor says you fell. But all of your other information says you tripped. Workers' comp's going to see that one word, fell, and deny it because it doesn't match the rest of the information. So the case manager will get with the doctor and say, "Hey, look, you need to fix this, and this is what you need to put in there." That's, and then they send the appeal off and keep monitoring. That's a case manager to me.
Okay, so that information lets us know that there is somebody, because let me tell you, if you get hurt at work, one would think, unless you started dealing with government programs and paperwork, one would think that all you would have to do is show up at a doctor's office, get treatment, your check would be coming to you. Again, if it's understood that you got hurt at work, one would think that you would not have to be as tenacious on following up on injury compensation forms as you actually have to be. So what I say to federal employees, the system is in place to ensure you are protected, to ensure there's no interruption in your pay, to ensure that you get rehabilitated as soon as possible. So the system is here to assist you, but you have to take the time and learn this system, because once you understand how to navigate, or once you understand there are competent people in this line of work, and they are designed to navigate, they desire to navigate for you with no out-of-cost pocket from you, why would you not take advantage of that? See, and these are the things that I say that I can't understand why people wouldn't be breaking down the doors of Chris and Jeannie, Elite Medical, my man, Mr. Norris out in Texas. If you have someone that's trying to assist you at no cost to you, how could you not take advantage of it? In Columbus, Ohio, we have Elite Medical. If you're injured at work, stop in and talk to the young man, Mr. Antonio Smith, who will be with us next week. Stop in and talk to him. Find out what your rights are. And also, you want to team up with individuals who know how to navigate this system so that you get the best treatment, you get no interruptions in your pay, so that you get everything the federal government says they have set aside for you. Hey, my name is Kenny Hodge, one of the co-producers on Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight is the Tuesday night Kenny and Rob show. It's an injury compensation podcast. Ask that you join us next Tuesday night. We'll try to almost always be here with a Tuesday night podcast for you. But I'm gonna turn the microphone over to you, Robert, so you can say goodnight, and we'll see everybody next week.
All right. Good night, everyone. Good night, Ken. Thanks for joining us.